Welcome to the Cannabis Connection. I'm your host, Christopher Carr. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Santa Cruz Cannabis Talk Radio. Big ups, Santa Cruz Voice, santacruzvoice.com. My guest today, Jerry of First Cut Farms in magical Mendocino County, breeds and produces the highest quality organically grown cannabis available worldwide. First Cut Farms is rooted in Covelo, in the heart of the Emerald Triangle. Founder and cultivator Jerry Munn is a longtime passionate cannabis activist with over 30 years of experience in cannabis cultivation and advocacy. His life journey is dedicated to providing world-class cannabis to you. Jerry has grown and cultivated indoor, outdoor, and hydroponic gardens from the cities to the mountains. His favorite style is outdoor, full-term, sun-grown big trees. He enjoys nature and working in the elements. His love of cannabis is evident in the lifestyle of his daily schedule. He works with cannabis nearly every minute that he's awake. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for welcoming. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. So, big year, big season. Right before we went live, we were speaking to the gardens, and can you speak to where you are right now and a little bit about the farm and where it's at right now?
Yeah, well, I am here in Covelo in Mendocino County, and it's winter time now on the farm. So we've, like probably down there, been getting a lot of rain. So it's quiet and the soil is not as active and resting, taking on all this water, recharging with the cycle.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's important. And but this season was a big season. Congrats on the ego clash. Was it Jar 42?
Yeah, this was the first year that Ego had the sun-grown competition.
Oh, wonderful. For those that are uninitiated, could you speak to the Ego, what it is? And we'll talk about the sun-grown competition.
Oh, yeah, Ego Clash is, you know, the biggest underground invitational put on by Brandon of Third Gen, the world's most winning hash maker.
Yep.
You know, he's the real deal, and is a great person that, you know, does a community event invite only. It's mostly been revolving around hash, but he's trying to include more of the community and had this year a sun-grown competition, because they've got hash with full melt rosin, then they've got indoor flower, and now he's added outdoor flower.
That's nice. Wow, man.
And I was lucky enough to get invited because I worked so hard. And I entered a Baccio Gelato. And my jar was the jar 42. And I placed 8th out of the top 10.
Nice.
They announced. So with that, grown here in Covelo, back there in those living soil beds we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, it's righteous.
I got the 8th place, so I was pretty stoked about that.
And did you say that was your first time?
This is the first time he's had the sun grown.
That's right. Okay, so yeah, no, that's exciting. So sun grown's a part of the mix.
Because it's mostly a hash competition, you know? Hash competition.
It is, yeah. But I love that there's inclusion in bringing in some more flower. Why not? Why wouldn't you want a little more? I mean, it's very special as a hash competition, and it is an invitational. But it's nice to have the sun-grown flower in the mix. The roots.
No, it is. And it's great to just be able to have, you know, community events. And you know, that's kind of one of the things behind why I do the upcoming seed swap that I'm having.
I love it. That's a great, we're going to go deeper into all of these things, but yeah, let's big up this seed swap. I'm very excited to learn more about that. And just off the bat, that's when and where and how can our audience support? And maybe just go into like, what is this? Will be the second year, or you've had it a couple times prior?
Yeah, it's just the second year. Last year,
nice.
There, you know, there was a void in the whole market of being able to get people seeds. There wasn't the Emerald Cup thing, didn't happen.
Wow, true.
There was like this whole void of like getting people seeds. So last year I was lucky enough to get to find a spot in Cloverdale, and I had just held like a seed swap exchange.
Cool.
Where people could, you know, come and share genetics. People could come and buy genetics. And it was a pretty successful event. And everyone since then has asked me about doing another event.
Good for you, man. That's what it's all about, bringing the people together. Community, serving the community first.
Yeah, and then again, you know, there was no Emerald Cup Harvest Ball this year.
That's correct.
So
it's like timely again, right? It's a need. Avoid, like how you said.
Yeah, so there's not really you know, a good way to get people seeds, and the seeds that are in the market, you know, are just dominated by like a few seed brands. You know, when you go to a retail outlet to buy seeds, what choices do you get? You get like a few bigger seed companies, and that's it. And there's a lot more diversity in cannabis, and there's a lot of breeders coming from Mendocino up here that got super fire genetics like myself.
Yeah, your trees are big. I mean, we could speak to that too later, but the importance of genetics is crucial in the success of the farm, right?
Not necessarily on the commercial level, but as like an enthusiast and connoisseur level, it's vital.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, because I've got commercial cannabis permits, so I have to act in a commercial way in that, which kind of sold my soul, because my real spirit is about breeding cannabis and pheno hunting and all of that fun that is, to me,
the magic. Yeah.
The magic of cannabis. Yeah.
And a passion, love, labors of love and passion projects, even the happy accidents.
Oh yeah. And just like the random unicorns.
That's right.
That you find just pheno hunting. And I like breeding cannabis. I have male plants that I kept. I used to pheno hunt a lot of male plants.
Cool.
And, so my seeds, Mendo seeds, I've had on and off, and I just want to get people diversity of genes in the marketplace. And this is an opportunity to get Mendocino County genetics from breeders that you're never going to be able to get seeds from.
That's amazing. What a beautiful opportunity for the greater cannabis community. Is kind of siloed just to the dispensaries, what is available via the retails. I suppose online there are, of course, a lot of people source a lot online, right, and are into that. But I think having the FaceTime, the direct connection, the ability to ask questions and engage with people like at a swap, at a in-person, is it booths, or can you paint a picture of what to expect or how it went last year? Like, how does it feel like the Emerald Cup? Is it kind of like one of those?
No, it's not like that.
I mean, not big. I'm not, of course, obviously not as big as that, but I mean, just the flow of engaging direct, or is it people at a booth kind of thing?
So this year, the format's a little bit different.
Cool.
And it's basically there's some tables with select farmers at them,
because cool.
The space being limited, so there's going to be several tables with different farms from and then there's a main like community table in the, so where, you know, if you you know, want to just get some seeds, take some seeds. So there will be like a community table where people will just leave seeds and you can take them and leave some. If you have your own, you know, you can leave seeds.
Cool.
You can take seeds, but not necessarily do you have to have seeds to take seeds that are on this table. So it's like a community table.
Like the freebie.
There will probably be other seeds, like, you know, not just vegetables. Cannabis seeds.
Yeah. Or just produce. Yeah. That's nice too.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? It's all part of the circle, closing of the loop.
Yeah, and I'm bringing other farmers from here in Covelo down with me that are, you know, regenerative and have like good, like, you know, cover crop seed stuff and
special
are doing
selections.
Yeah, one of my really good friends brings a bunch of different seeds. So Noah from Golden Fig Gardens, nice. Novelty selections. He'll have some good stuff.
Cool, killer. Yeah, this is kind of that time where it is winter and it's dormant, but you might as well do the cover crops and think about.
So with prepping. The format of the swap, you know, you'll be able to interact with the person that bred the seeds, you know, get a feel for the strains, the vibe of the breeder as well.
Nice.
Ask questions about the strains that they have. You know, that's kind of an important thing. I feel that, you know, there will be like, you know, some will probably have samples of what comes out of the flower, out of the seed stock. So you'll be able to, you know, probably see some of their personal cannabis plus the seeds and just get, you know, a better feel for what varieties you're looking at with the seeds.
When is this for those asking? I'm sure they're curious.
It's coming up quick. It's going to be in Hopland. It's in Hopland, California on the 27th of January. And it's a RSVP. So you've got to RSVP.
Cool.
To get into the event.
Is there a link for that or is that on through social media or?
Yeah, through social media, you can just find Jerry Seed Swap.
Perfect.
And there's information there on Instagram to how to RSVP for the event.
How exciting.
You know, it's a small grassroots event. It's very, you know, last year was pretty free-flowing and organic, and this year it's a little bit different with the RSVP, and it's going to be a really high vibration event. There's going to be a lot of really outstanding farmers from the North Country here. So
just nice.
that vibe of us farmers, you know, is really uplifting. There was going to be a little 420 event for everybody. So we were just gonna, you know, have just a few moments at 420.
Oh, very nice. Of course.
The event is 12 to 5 on Saturday, January 27th.
Very nice. Yeah. Yep. And there's definitely RSVP for that.
It's a daytime event, you know, so it's just a mellow seed event and just about sharing seeds, getting different genetics to people that they normally wouldn't have access to, because most of these people as well aren't dealing with the seed banks that are doing the whole online thing. And
important. Well, it's so important in this post Prop 64 era to keep connected to the people, to the consumer, the way things are structured in the supply chain. The customers and the farmers don't have this opportunity to speak direct, to vibe and come together. And so the seed swap is a wonderful opportunity for the culture to continue to have that like personal connection and for the actual community to engage direct and the access that you're providing. That's beautiful for both the seed creators, the seed stewards, and the people that are going to either exchange or source seeds. That access and that facilitation is really exciting. That's cool. Check it out. RSVP.
It's mostly like seed enthusiasts and breeders.
That's good.
That I'm inviting that are going to be there. You know.
Yeah.
So really passionate people for the plant. Really people doing amazing genetics work. And creating new varieties, and that's what a lot of us get pretty excited for.
Yeah.
Up here.
I'm curious to hear if there was anything this year that really stood out, or something that inspired you this year, as far as that passion project on that tip, or even in the commercial. You mentioned commercial versus labor of love, but you still did well with your commercial genetics at the Eagle Clash, so. I'd love to hear anything this year that maybe
was interesting. I feel that I definitely, one thing that I feel helped me is like my growing practices and being here in Covelo and it being such a magical place for growing and my organic living soil that I use. And yeah. I feel that, you know, my growing practices really helped me produce very high quality flowers, and you know, it really is the terroir that influences a lot of the growing, and where I live particularly is very, very nice for cannabis growing.
Speak to the terroir of, are you speaking to Covelo and where it is and in your farm specifically?
Yeah, so I mean, my farm here, I plant in the ground. I've been building the soil here where I cultivate for several years. And we're in the north country of Mendocino County, inland, so our temperature and environment here is unique, extremely drier than other parts of the county, and getting this temperature differential that's pretty extreme that really helps the plants thrive and really photosynthesize well. And I grow monster plants in the past.
Yeah, they are monsters. And what is
that? That's kind of what my breeding program was all designed around.
Wow.
Was like bigger plants, you know, and everyone's idea of a big plant is different, you know, like sure. It depends on where you're at. And I'm from Covelo, and like a big plant to me is like 10 pounds or more.
That's so crazy. That's a huge plant. Reality. Yeah. When you select for bigger plants, and you said you had a breeding program for how, you know, for the big tree style, what are you looking for? Or what is the thought process? Or obviously it's a process. I love how you kind of brought it back to the fundamentals of how you grow, and maybe not just the genetics, but when you select for big trees, what are you selecting for?
So usually what I'm looking for is very potent. You know, I'm more about potency than, you know, that's kind of my main thing. So I want highly potent cannabis, and that's what I select. And I've been blessed with getting seeds given to me from around the world. And I pheno hunted through a lot of exotic stuff from different regions and have used some of those in the backbone of some of the crosses. I've used a lot of just new cuts in the process with these plants that grow bigger. So I've got some nice male selections that produce big plants. You know, I really spent a lot of time focusing on male plants. So I would grow out male plants and, whoa, you know, do the standard stuff, you know,
yeah,
pick the tallest one, the
yeah,
one that grows the most vigorous, you know, just by breeding and crossbreeding that and keep selecting for the wider leaf with the very vigorous characteristics, just passing that through, and then always on the females, just getting spectacular results with aggressively, you know, vigorous plants. And, you know, it's about a lot of vigor that produces these bigger plants, plus the branching and internode spacings.
Yeah. Wow. And some, yeah, there you go. That's it. Internode spacing and the branching.
Yeah. Cause you don't want something necessarily on a big plant that's got super tight internodes. So, you know, selecting for stuff that has a little bit longer internode structure, because all that stuff passes through.
Yeah.
And you can get some plants, and a lot of lines, you know, produce big plants, you know, like Blue Dream produces a big plant.
Okay. See, that's important. Yeah, of course. I'm familiar with Blue Dream from being from Santa Cruz, but are there other lines that come to mind that are like big plant lines?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff coming off of that, there's a lot of varieties as well that come from like these granddaddy hybrids from the GDP Urkels.
Yeah, nice. Some purple
hybridized stuff that was coming from my area here, you know, out of Covelo. There was
nice,
some, you know, some wild stuff back in the day, all out through those lines that these one dudes were running.
Is Granddaddy from Covelo, or some purples are from Covelo?
There's the Jagu that's from the Jagu region here.
That's right, Jagu.
And a lot of the Goos came from the area here, mostly. I've heard that the GDP came from around here, but I don't think anybody really knows where
it's hard.
That one
origin came stories from. Are all kind of hard, but it's interesting to think about. I mean, when you said Jagu, that totally resonated. I thought of Covelo and the Goos, Afgu, other Goos.
Yeah,
interesting. And those grow pretty big, right? Or different? Or
yeah, they grow huge.
They grow huge. And they have color.
Yes, from the purple jasmine. So
yeah, purple, you know, jasmine. You got, well, what else is in? I'm spacing on what's in Jagu.
I think it's the Goo times the purple jasmine originally.
Got it. Nice.
And that all came from some guys up here, you know, up in the hills. For me, all the new offerings that I have in seeds, I've got a nice Kush Mint male.
Oh, nice.
That I selected out of some packs when that was available.
And I like Cushman a lot. Yeah.
The male I have is super resiny, so it passes on a nice level of frost. And at the seed swap, I'll have crosses done with that.
Oh, cool.
From more popular of the females, like the Bob Saget. Those are good. I've got the
Bob Wedding Saget. Cake. I haven't even heard of it. Wedding Cake is, I know that one. That's a classic now.
Oh, the Bob Saget's just a nice gassy OG.
Okay, cool. Hey, that's super lovely.
Chunk, yeah, it's super gassy, super chunk resin.
Yeah,
on gas,
which is nice. With the Cushman is what's Cushman? Is it Triangle Kush? Bubba Kush?
It's the Bubba Kush times cookies.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh, that's lovely with a gassy OG. So Bob Saget's the gassy OG. That's nice. Killer. And then Wedding Cake is pretty, it's got Triangle Kush in the cross.
The cake Kush Mints are really good.
I've run those before. Oh, cool.
Those are good.
Sweet.
Those are good. Nice density. You'll get some color in them. Like, you know, it's a
resin on the nice wedding cake structure. Yeah. Oh, man. That's exciting. Anything else that I imagine you do a lot of outreach for the seed swap. Any interesting things that may be there to get people hyped up, maybe, or breeders that they might be able to connect with?
I'll be there with my Mendo seeds.
Sweet.
And some of the other people that are going to be there, my Fault Line seeds is going to be there.
Nice.
Higher Heights is going to be there. My friend Benjamin Grant is going to be there.
Nice.
He's from Humboldt, Salmon Creek area. So if you want some Salmon Creek genetics, he's got...
Can you speak to that? If people don't know what that means, Salmon Creek, it's just different terroir. It's more river or closer to the coast?
Yeah, it's up in Humboldt County.
Yeah, north.
It's pretty famous for the Salmon Creek big bud.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the... Yeah, with the flower.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's like another cannabis hotbed like Covelo is.
Covelo is an amazing hotbed
for producing cannabis. You know, a lot of
quality cannabis
come out of these regions.
Yeah, in lines. You mentioned inland too, which is different. You know, Santa Cruz, we have issues with the marine layer. You're away from that, correct? So, and you mentioned the temperature swings, and maybe we can speak to that as far as some of this beautiful terroir talk really fires me up and understanding, like, you're in Mendocino, so the Origins Council, and does that come up with Covelo, I imagine, with the Appellation of Origin or something maybe long-term?
Yeah, no, Covelo has its own appellation through the Origin Council.
There you go. And speak to the public that what that means. It's really special. It's important.
Yeah, so just like regions in France have different areas for wine production, and like certain varieties can only come from, certain names can only come from certain areas, you know, because the grapes grow different.
Yeah, that's
depending
right.
Depending on its subclimate. And Covelo has its own terroir, and really that's an accumulation of like the dirt, you know, it comes from terra, the word terroir.
And that's cool.
It's about the soil and about the air and the environment. It's like the totalness of the origin. So different regions have different subclimates, and the subclimate here in Covelo is really special because it's inland and it's protected in a valley.
That's so right. Yeah, it's a valley.
We get a little bit, like, it cools down here pretty good because it's the valley, so it does like get cool in the evenings. So it's hot here in Covelo, you know, over 100 degrees all summer.
Wow.
You know, 118, you know, definitely isn't unheard of for it to be like 116.
Dang.
During the summer.
It's bacon. Yeah.
So
that's hot.
Yeah. And during parts of the summer, you know, it's 105 every day, guaranteed.
Oh my gosh. And you're 16 miles.
But then it cools down.
Yeah. Then it cools a lot.
It cools down at the evenings, and then it will be like in the 60s, 50s. You know, so you've got this big swing of like, you know, 40 degrees some days, 50 degrees some days. And it, you know, causes, you know, the plants to just thrive, you know. It really kind of, you know, somewhat stresses them out.
That's right. It's like a low stress. That's fascinating, man.
Yeah.
That low stress training really brings out the best resin, the best fruit. It's like it's... it thrives on that adversity a little bit. It's like low intensity training, but consistently hot, and then swings low. So right when it breaks, it gets better.
Yeah, you know, the plant is a living organism.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
It reacts to the environment. You know,
of course.
It's like living.
Yeah.
So
and tied
you
to
know,
it.
There's a lot of factors. And that is really what helps the cannabis from this region be so good, is because they react to the environment here. And the environment is luckily has a lot of water here in the Round Valley. We're on the Eel River watershed.
I see. So when it is that triple digit, you can provide the water, or that you retain the water.
Then the water table, depending on where you're at, is very high here. You know, where my garden is, the water table is, I think, about like 17 feet. So
wow.
The water table here is pretty high, you know. During the summer, of course, it gets a little lower. I'm not sure how much lower, but like my water table here is high. It's crazy.
But you have abundance. And so those plants can feel comfortable, at least in the root, in the rhizosphere, when it's so hot, right? Or do they, it stresses them a little bit.
As long as you just keep stuff watered, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they kind of like the heat.
They do, and there is plenty of water here, you know.
That's it. That's a key piece to that.
We're on this huge aquifer here.
Amazing. So how cool. Wow.
Well, in the valley. It is the most precious resource that we have is water, and the water does need to be protected.
Amen.
And it is a really important thing. You know, for me as a cultivator, it's pretty important for me to have clean water and not you know, toxify my environment. So I'm pretty conscious about like what products I'm using, or I use most organic inputs, you know.
Yeah, and stewarding, keeping the whole table clean, because around you, everyone that I've talked to in Covelo are very conscientious like you. It's a beautiful community, small,
yeah,
but beautiful.
No, there's a lot of
is Mo. Mo's in your neighbors with Mo.
Yeah, well, we're not neighbors, but she's up here
nearby
in the Covelo area. Yeah,
yeah. I went to high school with her brother and go way back from Gold Country up in El Dorado County, and yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but her farm is Sunbright Farms.
That's right.
They're out north of town. They're out Mina up in the forest, and they've got a really beautiful farm. They've got the smallest license type in the state at a cottage license type.
Wow.
So they're at 2,500 square foot. And most of us here in Mendocino County are limited on our canopy. She's got the smallest, and you know, they're very Sun and Earth certified. They're really on top of being one of these stewards of the environment.
Yeah, no, everyone I've talked to, I think ITOL is in Covelo, ITOL Foundation.
Joel was up here, but he hasn't been
up here
for a while now.
That's right. Okay, it's been years. I've talked to so many farmers over the... It's nice to reconnect, and it's nice to... Yeah. You know, I've always had a lot of love with...
No, Covelo, that's what makes Covelo special. Is that
it's so special.
There's an ethos between a certain level of growers up here, and there's a handful of us, but we're really, you know, I'm not so, you know, I'm pretty regenerative. I'm not so self-sustainable like some of these other farms up here, like Sunroots Farms, like Radical Herbs Farms. Yes. These guys are DemPure certified.
Yeah, yes. But that's nice, because it's a small community, though. You do see each other and hang out and talk, and it's a beautiful thing.
It is
to be in proximity to the presence of each other and that collective passion for the plant, and yeah, it's so cool too that there's continuing opportunities like your seed swap for the people to come together and gather. I was very sad to see the lack of a harvest ball this year, and it's been a hard few years for much of Northern California, Santa Cruz included, Central Coast, all of the Ganja community has been put through it. So it's nice to have these opportunities to get back to why we do it and what fires us up and what we love, the passion of the beans, of the genetics, and keeping things. One thing, I was revisiting some interviews, and the best way to preserve certain things you love is to kind of distribute it amongst friends too. It's a great way to back up genetics.
It is. And the seed swap gives people an opportunity to get genetics from my region, Covelo, Humboldt, you know, other Mendocino County areas as well.
Yeah, and in Hopland, it's not too far. Hopland is not too far. It's the bottom of, right? It's right at the bottom of Mendo.
Yeah, it's just past the county line down there. So it's, you know, the southern part of.
That's right. It's great. Mendo. Yeah, that's the spot. The solar spot is there. Well, and the Small Farms Initiative, were you doing a part of that last year? Was that last year?
That was a few seasons ago. I was lucky enough to participate in the Small Farmers Initiative through our local cannabis association, the MCA.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
The Mendocino Cannabis Alliance.
How is
they do a lot of work for us farmers.
So they're important. And Michael.
A great advocacy group.
Yes. Yeah, it's and been a good good group.
Yeah, they help a lot with the cannabis policy and trying to advise these rule makers on making more smart policy decisions.
I see. One thing I do want to speak to before we lose our train of thought, because I was going down the policy route, but I'd like to talk about with the ego clash, and we kind of spoke to this a little bit, with your passion for the plant, do you work with hashishins? Do you do your own hashishin, like, you know, do you do the wash? Do you do the rosin? Can we speak to that a little bit in the next kind of like level of, you know, you grow this special resin. We have this unique terroir. Covelo has always been like this really special place in the greater cannabis community. But one thing I would like to learn more about is single source hash.
Oh yeah. Thanks for asking, because I love hash. In fact,
I think it's important we talk about it.
I've been making hash for probably 20 years. So I'm very knowledgeable.
Oh, let's talk. We need to learn about this. Yeah.
I'm very advanced in hashish production, and I am a big fan, you know.
What's your favorite as far as I think I'm seeing some rosin, but do you prefer the bubble, or can you shed light on you know, what about hash gets you fired up?
I'm not into rosin, and I'm not into dabbing at all. It kind of cool.
Got it. That's nice to know.
So I'm more of a traditional hashish person. You know, I find like everybody's got their idea of like exotic cannabis, and I think it depends on when you grew up and
what
you
were
exposed to.
Yeah, right? Same with hash in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and hashish has been used by cultures and produced by different areas for thousands of years. Morocco, Afghanistan, Pakistan. You know, these are hashish producing areas for thousands of years. So to me, that's exotic.
Yes.
And I prefer more like traditional hashish that's either, you know, and I like dry sift, cleaned up, because I don't like my hands getting cold, because I've made so much bubble hash over the years. I'm just like, you know, kind of over my hands being ice cold.
So with the dry sift, is that tumbler? Is the micro screens? Can you define or shed light what that is to the uninitiated?
Yeah, so dry sieving is like the most traditional way of processing the cannabis to hashish, where you would, you know, take your material and do an initial sieving of it, and the sieving initiating, you know, can either be thrashing, you know, which is like the traditional way that these guys do it is they thrash it, they dry it, they thrash it, then they refine that through a usually like a static technique or just finer sieves. And for me, I just tumble everything, an initial tumble, get it, the initial keef, people would call it, or loose resin. And then from that, I'll refine it over another two or three series of screens, trying to isolate the trichomes and removing whatever contaminant might be in there, pieces of leaf or orange hairs or, you know, stalks and not resin heads, because the goal is to try to get isolate these, the granular stalk trichome head.
Yes, yes.
And that technique can be done with, you know, dry sieving screens, and the technique can be done with using water and rinsing the cannabis with cold water and using a similar sieving bag technique. And
but the ice cubes, you know, play a role, right, with the...
Yeah, just cold. So if you live where it's cold, you can just fucking put the water in there. Just wow. Make sure the water doesn't freeze, because, right?
I see.
You want it cold.
Yeah, no. Yeah, cold water is crucial. Yeah, no. And so that's interesting. I always thought the ice was a part of the actual agitation of the trichome head.
It does help, but just the agitation of the water, the water movement is what really... So the cold makes the heads be able to dislodge, but it's really like because if you use too much ice to grind it, then you're grinding it and you're getting contaminant in it. So
you really don't want
a lot of ice grinding
that's
it.
That's a good point. Good point. Wow. Okay. So
these are the advanced tricks on producing high quality hashish. Is that you don't want to beat the shit to death.
No.
You want to rinse it.
Yeah, it's a wash. I was always taught washing. Correct. We're washing.
And a lot of people beat it to death.
That's right.
And then they end up with a contaminant product.
That's right. Yeah. No, I'm familiar with. Yeah, it's so hard sometimes, and it is. It's a labor of love making hashish, and
it's a lot of work. Actually,
it's a lot of work. It's labor intensive.
To make like low quality keef and
could happen and do that, quickly with a lot of abundance. Yeah. That's right.
But to make the highest quality, and I really pride myself on the highest quality. If we ever have a session together and I'd be honored with you.
Oh yeah.
You'd like really be like next level.
Oh no. Yeah. I imagine I have a strong taste for it. But part of me is just, it's so hard sometimes to set the time and really devote one. I need to get back into the swing of it. Cause I miss really good quality resin, and it's a labor intensive process.
Well.
That's correct.
It needs to be cured as well. So there's a whole process for that transformation of hashish, is to take the trichome heads and then press it and then store it and cure it for several months. So there's real traditional, it's got to be cured and it's got to be aged. Pressed.
Pressed. Yes. I want to speak to pressing. Let me, I have to do a quick break. Let's take a quick break and talk about pressing right when we come back, because that's an important piece that I didn't learn until later in life. And I think a lot of people need to speak to that. I think it's very important. Like, obviously you're passionate about pressing it to make it work, to make it right. So let me take a quick, we're going to take 2 minutes. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Cannabis Connection. Big ups, SantaCruzVoice.com.
What's your family eating for dinner? Chef Ben here at the Back Nine Grill and Bar, where you can pick up family dinner that feeds 4 to 6 hungry people. Family meals include a full rack of ribs, a whole smoked chicken, pound of pulled pork, and plenty of barbecue sauce. Served with a full quart of baked beans, coleslaw, macaroni and cheese, dinner rolls, pickles, a side of onions, and for dessert, brownies with a pint of Mary Ann's vanilla ice cream. Call and order your family's dinner about 15 minutes before you want to eat. See you at the 9.
Do never get a second chance to make a good first impression. When you want to make a good first impression, start with Dynamic Press Angelo.
Dynamic Press can take care of every printing need, from business cards to stationery, apparel, mailings, brochures, everything but money.
When you want to make a good first impression, start with Dynamic Press in Santa Cruz.
479-7920. DynamicPress.com.
When your business is on the move, you must find the right place for it to move. Let's ask Matt Chelton, General Manager of J.R. Parrish, the big question. What is the right place to move one's business?
Location, location, location. Sometimes it's rent. Sometimes it's the fact that there aren't that many buildings available to suit you. But mostly it's location of your customers, location of the principals, location of your employees.
Move it to the right place with the help of the power brokers at J.R. Parrish in Santa Cruz.
If the Howard Stern Show and Terry Gross's Fresh Air had a baby, well, that's my program, Show and Tell. It airs 2 p.m. Pacific on Saturdays. I'm your host, Tamara Lowe. Listen on SantaCruzVoice.com.
Change is great when you initiate it. Hi, Brian, formerly of Unschooling Stories. Join me Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. for Overschooled, Undereducated, right here on SantaCruzVoice.com.
All right, welcome back, Santa Cruz Voice. Jerry, I missed you. Although the back nine made me hungry. All that food talk. Oh gosh, and we're talking about hash. It sounds really good. We were talking about hash, and I couldn't have picked a better. I didn't even pick it. I have this little stack. I just push the button, and it's like boom. Talking about food, and we're talking about hash right before it. Let's press some hash.
Hooking you up with some brownies and ice cream for the book. Serious.
I know Chef Ben, too, and he's a very generous. He's a great guy. This is so funny. It's very roots, very community, which is aligned with our discussion.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, it's really the seed swap is about just bringing the community together.
And I,
but back on to the hash discussion.
Yeah, tell me about pressing. What is, because there's many ways to, like, I don't know if everyone's thinking the same thing when they think pressing. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, the transformation into hashish is when it is pressed, and there's different ways to press it. You can use a bottle with hot water between some pieces of turkey bag, and you can press it with heat and roll it out, you know, and then make balls out of it and then store the balls. You can use just a mold and put the resin powder in the mold and then just press it with the pressure, because the pressure is basically releasing all of the oils from the cells of the trichomes. And when that happens, that creates the transformation, is getting the oils out and mixed out and then
aging it. You just inspired me.
So then once you press it,
okay,
and you know, it's different than pressing rosin, because they basically just squish out the oil from the trichomes and leave behind the cells. So with the hashish, you're just leaving all of the cells of the trichomes to mix with the oils that have been released, and in that process, through aging, new terpenes are created.
Really? And, so aging really brings out a new profile or an evolved profile.
Yes. It transforms it.
It transforms it.
Transforms
it. I've never, and this is embarrassing, but yeah, the aging piece is something that I've omitted in my life. And I have a jar and will start pressing it tonight and making those balls, also known as temple balls, is what I know them as.
That's right.
And you age them. And the way you described it just made me realize, oh, I've been missing out. I never took it to that pressing. I would make really nice resin heads, and you know, I would sparkle it in the roll.
That's
traditionally how I consume hash, is I would bring it in with flour and have a slow smoke.
And that's a perfect way to enjoy that product.
Yeah, that's my favorite. But the aging piece is something that I feel like I've overlooked. The way you described it really helped me. I want to try that to make the temple ball. That's a crucial step.
And most people don't have the patience to do it, and that's right. Fine.
I mean, yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
But yeah, if you can take it and store it for 3 months, take it, store it for a year.
Yeah. Every year you should make a ball and just tap into different balls because they last a long time too.
Yeah. If you make the hashish properly, store it properly, it will last for years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And in a way, it will evolve from what you're sharing, because you said something about the terpenes as they age. I concur. Yes. I concur. There's a complexity in the profile.
And definitely, like, as well, you know, oxidization plays a part in it.
Yeah, that's right. Of course.
Oxygen can't get into the center. So it really is another way to protect.
You're making a shell
from oxidizing.
Yeah, how cool. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
You know, I get excited over like blocks of hashish. That's what I like because it just reminds me of import stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Import. Yeah. Can we speak to that? We have a little bit of time, but what do you mean by that? Like with the big blocks? Because I know what you mean, but maybe not everybody does.
I mean, in these traditional regions, they make a mold, they jack press it, they make these blocks, and then they ship it over, you know? So in the olden day, back in the day, you know, you would get these like blocks of hash that were brown or black, super good quality, and just reminiscent to like the days of that.
Yeah.
Back then, all cannabis was illegal, right?
That's right.
So for a lot of us older folks, cannabis was illegal. It would ruin your life. They would fuck you, the authorities. And we live in a totally different world now, thanks to Dennis Perrone.
And Brownie Mary and all those.
For all that they did, all of us now don't have to worry about having our lives ruined.
Yeah.
Because we were smoking some cannabis.
Some flowers, some sacred flowers, and resin, the most cosmic crop.
Yeah, and to me, the hashish just, for me, I just smoke less. It's super potent.
And it's a complex flavor. It's a very special experience.
For me, just smoking less is better for my health, so I find myself smoking less. And as well, the flavor is amazing on properly made and properly cured hashish. The flavor is very floral. You don't get like this burnt taste. And
no plant. Yes, it's just pure resin.
And that's why, you know, the people really enjoy the rosin, which even with rosin is a form of hash. They just take the loose resin after they collect it. And most of the time it's collected through water hash.
That's right.
And on fresh material that's been frozen. So they're trying to preserve the terpenes more. So you're cutting your flower fresh, you're freezing it, and then you're washing it and then collecting that resin. You're using a freeze dryer to then dry the resin so it doesn't oxidize. And then you're taking that resin, putting it in some micron bags and using heat and pressure to re-sieve it again. And what comes out is the oil from the trichomes, and in the bag is all of the trichome cells. And then there you got your rosin.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much. We're right at the top of the hour.
Which is a great product.
No, I concur. It's a great product. It's that's what I was going off of too. I was looking at some pictures of the rosin, and but I prefer personally. Yeah, I'm not a fan of dabbing, and everything you spoke to with the, you know, the aging piece is something I think is really important for people. Not everyone has that abundance, but I think it is something to explore and enjoy.
Yeah, and I have some hashish products in a dispensary in San Francisco in the Outer Sunset District, Cannabis Cultures. That retailer has some of my aged hashish.
Nice. Right on, brother. Well, we actually went over. This is great, though. It was awesome, though. We covered it all, I think. I think we covered the seed swap, and I'm going to press some hash tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got jars. I got mason jars of some special stuff, and I think what I've been missing is the aging and the pressing and making the balls and letting them age a bit, curing those.
Yes, if you can just not everyone can do it, is put it in something airtight after you press it, but you know, just having it wrapped in the cellophane helps with some of the gas exchange, because some of them will start off gassing and go through this really transformative process. Oily, they'll oil on the outside, they'll do some crazy stuff depending on like the grade that went into it.
Yep. All right, Jerry, that was a great show. Thanks again.
Oh, thanks for having me on, and I hope it went well for everybody. I really appreciate it so much.
Of course, man, and good luck with the seed swap.
Oh, yeah, I'm super stoked about it, to be honest.
Likewise. No, I'm really excited what you're up to, and we'll keep in touch. I wish I could make it. It's my daughter's birthday, so I'm not going to make that. But
No, it's cool. It's cool.
Right on, man. Yeah. All right. Give thanks, man. All we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Chris. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. I can't miss that. I told him. I was like, oh. He's like, I got to promote the seed swap. And I was like, okay. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. What's that from? What's going on?
Rosie's dog.
Oh, I see.
Kula, poor girl. Kula's gone.
I know. That was a long run.
Yeah.
A long, epic run.
Epic run.
Yeah, that's very impressive. That's so funny. I didn't even notice. I like to be real intimate and just in the flow.
I like that idea.
It's cool. No, it's like I'm just in the, all I can see is the timer and hear his voice. And
you have to get really focused.
Yeah, I was dialed in. You walked in, I didn't even flinch. I was like, oh, hey Michael. Yeah, he's thrown this very unique endeavor, a seed swap. I think you'd appreciate that. So like a lot of these legacy folk,